PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespo. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling with Drew Sakai and Drew.
Chris.
Sir Cogburn. Man, I should be able to hold that longer. I'm going to Tom Cruise it up, work on that for the next year or so.
Yeah, man.
In private, though.
Yeah.
Got to sort of break out a 5-minute Drew.
Got to do more cardio. Got to work on that cardio, Chris. I know, cardio's the worst. It's the absolute worst.
The storm threw me off, and like I feel like it's so hard to get back in that rhythm.
I can do all of the other stuff. Cardio, no.
Everyone can do all the other stuff.
I hate cardio.
People can lift things. I can lift things.
I hate cardio more than I hate life.
My heart hurts when I do it, but the problem is if I don't do it, it hurts even more. So we're doing a bonus episode, Cinema Crespediso. Is a spillover bonus episode. If this is your first time listening to Cinema Crespediso, welcome. This is one of our bonus episodes where we're catching up on all the movie news stories that we can't fit into our normal show. Drew just watched the trailer for Wes Anderson's Isle of Dogs. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Drew?
It's very Wes Anderson.
So Wes
Anderson. I mean, even when it's animated, you know, like this weird, stop motion? Is that what he's doing?
Yes, straight up stop motion, yeah.
So, you know, kind of like the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yes.
Even still, even when it's that way, he still frames things a very certain way.
Yep.
And there are certain looks on people's faces and certain inflections and dialogue.
Now he has so many movies that he's all written. Everyone talks the same, yeah, right?
Exactly. And it's all very Wes Anderson.
So Wes Anderson.
And at the end, you get the whole list, and all the normal guys are there. Everybody's back.
Actually, I have so many screens here. Would you mind pulling up the IMDb? Look at the cast list is impressive. Because, yes,
it's
all the regulars.
It's the who's who.
It's his regulars. But then also more people, because he's so in demand as a filmmaker. People want to work with him.
Yeah.
An animated movie gives him the opportunity to work with more people than normal. And it's a little cheaper, it's easier, so the cast list is crazy long, and it's just like the wildest names when it's all in conjunction. Yeah, you're right, 100%. He's doing his French New Wave 60s Truffaut thing, everything, the storybook almost level of detail and production design, which then translates perfectly to animation. Yeah, spent the rest of his career just making an animated movie every 4 years,
because okay
that's
that
how long it takes, I 100%
yeah,
I
guess. Totally. 100%.
Yep, you've done enough. Uh-huh. Royal Tenenbaums was a long time ago. Personally, I don't think he's made a movie better than that one since. Rushmore and Royal Tenenbaums is his 1-2 punch. Everything else since then has been good. I like it all. But nothing's been as good as that. Fantastic Mr. Fox, it was fantastic. Isle of Dogs looks like a lot of fun.
It does.
He also seems to enjoy, I guess it's because it's anthropomorphic, that's why.
Kind of.
Both times he's working with mostly animal characters that talk as opposed to...
Well, I mean, this one, these are regular dogs, because it's human world.
They are regular dogs, talk. But they're talking.
Yeah. And they don't speak Japanese.
But it's a weird world. It's got to be an adaptation of something, right? I bet you it is. I feel like I've read that somewhere before.
I mean, the only reason why Grand Budapest Hotel
Budapest
is so up high on my list is because Ralph Fiennes says fuck.
He's so good.
So often.
It's a great movie. It's like top five of Wes Anderson. He's made 10, 12 movies. It's one of his best. It's so good.
I love it when Ralph Fiennes says fuck.
I love it. I love that movie. But I didn't have the same emotional oomph that I had to
throw
with Tenenbaums. But that also could be a time thing where the time of my life at that age and the certain, you know, it's
cast,
a thing.
Cast of Isle of Dogs.
Let's hear it.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston, that's new.
Mm-hmm.
He's new.
Yeah.
Liev Schreiber, new?
I think so. I don't think he's worked them before.
Tilda Swinton.
Mm.
Bill Murray.
Mm.
Ed Norton.
Mm.
Greta Gerwig.
I think that's her first time.
Kara Hayward.
I don't know who it is.
Jeff Goldblum.
Great.
Fisher Stevens.
Yes.
Frances McDormand.
Yes. Yeah, I think, has she? Yes, she was in, yes, she was in Moonrise Kingdom, I believe.
Harvey Keitel.
Yes. Yes. That's how he was in Phantasm. No, Moonrise Kingdom. He was in the older
scout. He was the old scout. That's so weird.
Oh, my God. That's Harvey Keitel.
F. Murray Abraham.
And he's not naked. F. Murray
Abraham. F. Murray.
He's worked with him before.
Ken Watanabe.
Nice. That's awesome. Courtney. He's a Japanese. I finally got at least someone.
Courtney B. Vance.
Is he Hawaiian? Courtney B. Vance. That's great.
Bob Balaban.
Bob Balaban. Yes. He is the narrator for Moonrise Kingdom. He was so funny. Talking about the storm coming.
Yoko Ono.
Yoko Ono. That's awesome.
Koyu Rankin. Kenichi Nomura.
Don't know who that is.
Frank Wood.
Don't know that.
Akira Ito. Mm. Akira Takayama.
Oh, now you get down to the bottom of the cast this role.
Yojira Noda. Mari Natsuki.
No Bill Murray?
No. Bill Murray. Oh, yeah, of course.
Did you say Bill Murray?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, fucking Bill Murray. Dude, right underneath Tilda Swinton. Come on. Bill Murray, Tilda Swinton. Those two are like Wes Anderson's 1-2 punch.
At this point, if you can have access to them, why not use them?
Yeah.
I mean, God damn it. It looks great. I love the style. It looks like a fun, creative, inventive story. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in Isle Dogs. So people, check out that Isle Dogs trailer. Look forward to some Wes Anderson. How do you say it? I've only seen it written down. Never heard it said out loud. All right. The big story of the week of the last few days. Drew.
Chris.
This is crazy. And many people aren't going to... I'm going to have to explain some stuff to give people context. But the boys club, the old boys club, the gross old boys club hidden within the geek film community has been dragged out into the light recently, as many parts of, you know, current culture in terms of toxic masculinity, rape culture, the boys club's
been around. Only recently have been starting to dismantle.
Have we finally started to get the conversation going? Like, this is a thing we need to address. All of us have taken part of it, you know, over time. It's just, that's unfortunate when it comes to culture.
Boys will be boys, Chris.
Boys will be boys, right. Excuse me, boys will be boys. We have our man card, which gets revoked based on our behavior. Mm-hmm. Women, however, have to earn their womanhood and all that. You know, it's what the fuck, right? So, but then we so many roads can go down with this story. So, in the late 90s, out of Austin, Texas, I believe, this gentleman named Harry Knowles started a website called Ain't It Cool News, ain'titcoolnews.com, and it was like the progenitor of the online film website that had movie reviews, of news of screenings, casting stuff, right? They were reviewing scripts and things like that, and putting a lot of stuff out there that were making studios mad. For a long time, the studios were like, how do we take care of this internet problem of internet news? We don't want, you know, they didn't have control of the information. They have learned since to corral. Now it's all, they pay for it all now. Yeah. So since if these people even want to make any money doing this stuff, they have to play ball. It's all carefully curated 15, 20 years later. But he was the first one. Got onto this website. Someone else, Drew McWeeny, who now writes for a website, 80-something, I don't know. He wrote a review of a Jurassic Park script that was so bonkers insane that it went viral for that time, you know, 2004 or whatever. And it essentially killed the project. They also killed... through bad internet buzz, they killed J.J. Abrams' Superman movie.
Okay.
That he had an insane version of Superman he wanted to make around 2003, 2004, maybe. And it would have been his first movie, and they reviewed the script, and it was just like tanked the whole thing. It was wild, the power that the site used to have. Just through, you know, not staying up with the times, sticking to their old ways, and poor writing in general, they're better writers leaving, going to other websites. They've grown out of prominence over years. People don't go to their website the same way anymore. They used to make like around $600,000-$700,000 a year. Now it's like $100,000-$200,000. That's going to plummet even more now, because as it turns out, the guy who started this whole site, Harry Knowles, this big fat guy, redheaded dude who is in a wheelchair often, if not I think permanently, I believe, he's been accused of the old sexual harassment creepazoid, rubbing up on people, sending inappropriate messages to girls via the Twitters and the DMs.
Just grabbing by the pussy.
Just, yeah, he's like grabbing by the pussy type of guy, exactly. Which, so last year, grabbing by the pussy, right? Big deal with Trump, right? And this guy, Devin Faraci, film critic, writing for another site, birthmoviesdeath.com, in conjunction with Alamo Draft House, and somebody, that's a whole other facet. This story is wild. He went online talking about grandma a pussy, blah, blah, this is a bunch of bullshit, I'm a feminist, et cetera, et cetera. And then a lady hit him up and was like, well, then how come that time recently at a party where you grabbed me by my pussy? Uh-huh. And he was like, oh, shit. So his career has gone in the toilet since then. He got fired off his new popular podcast that was produced by a company, by like a PFT Media type company, except one with money. Fired off that shit. So you know Alamo Draft House?
Yes.
Right? Started as just like a couple. Mm-hmm. The leagues, Tim League and Katie Care, something like that. They started with one theater. They now have like, I don't know, 400 locations around the country. And it's grown into this huge thing as opposed to what it used to be. In the very beginning, they started out of Austin, Texas. They were working with this Harry Knowles guy, and they were working together all the time. And this guy, this Tim League dude, a couple weeks ago hired that Devin Faraci, like secretly, without any fanfare, hired him to write copy for their website, mm-hmm. and for their film fest they do every year, Fantastic Fest, which they do in conjunction with Ain't It Cool News, right? It all comes together. The big uproar over that, people got all pissed off. How are you going to give this guy, just like cut him some slack? What is this, you're harboring?
Yeah.
You know, we're supposed to be ostracizing this type of shit. And Devin has since resigned. And now the whole Harry Knowles thing dropped in the last few days. Apparently, he skipped the Fantastic Fest this year, which was already an anomaly. And then he also, his website was not a sponsor of the festival this year. And people noted that ahead of time. Like, what? What's going on?
Yeah, well.
And then these things came out. The news bits started dropping. It started with one girl, but you know how it goes. We saw it with Cosby. Power in numbers. Someone else sees that someone else comes out. Well, that shit happened to me, too. Like, at least four other people have come out and been like, what the fuck? So, it's some crazy shit going on.
Sweet.
Some crazy shit. So people are like now thinking about, I don't know, not going to any more Alamo Draft House events.
No.
And writers have started abandoning the website. Ain't it cool? Whatever writers they had all left. Harry Knowles, there's this crazy thing where he didn't admit to any wrongdoing, but then he's still stepping down from the website, controlling the website. He's going to go to therapy and heal himself for all this bullshit, right? Admitting no wrongdoing, but I still got to take care of this. And then he says he's turning everything over to his sister. And then his quote sister puts out a post online. It's written just like him. And people are just like, this is just him. He's pretending, you know? Anyway. You should look at a picture of this guy. Knowles.
What's the first name?
Harry. Harry Knowles. Used to be a big power player in Hollywood for a minute there, thanks to his internet scooping. But now he's just a creepy pervert weirdo.
Now he's just a creepy pervert weirdo?
A known creepy pervert weirdo.
I could have told you he was a creepy pervert weirdo from just looking at him.
Oh, you judged that book by that cover?
Oh, hell yes. I mean, and you know what? I'd have been right.
Now that you know the story.
Even still, without knowing the story. Dude, serious? No.
Now that you know.
No fucking way. Yeah, total creepy weirdo.
He did a lot of grabbing and rubbing, unasked and unconsensual, non-consensual.
He should have been.
And a lot of people knew about it in the film community.
He should have been slapped in the face over and over and over
again. But unfortunately, that bit of, quote, power that he had through his website and as a film writer online, people were scared to come out against that. That's how it works. That's how the Sandusky thing happened with Paterno, and he's like, I don't want to blow this up because we got a good thing going here at Penn State, or where it was Penn State, mm-hmm. right? Shout out to Cabin Boy. And that's how these things get covered up, because they don't want to stop a good thing. But you know what? His website hasn't been relevant anymore. He's not that relevant, and times are changing in terms of. Just turning a blind eye to that shit, unfortunately for him, fortunately for people who have to put up with that shit, like these ladies who have decided to step forward, which is good for them. So I'd be like, stop going to Ain't It Cool News, everyone, but seriously, people weren't going to that site for a long time anyway. There was like one writer there worthwhile checking out, maybe two, and they both have said that they're leaving. So It, chapter 2. Well, mm-hmm. first off, It, the first one, highest grossing horror film of all time.
Mm-hmm.
it passed The Exorcist in terms of like just sheer dollars. Mm-hmm. Highest grossing horror film of all time. It too has a release date. It is September 6th, 2019.
Awesome.
Which is Labor Day weekend, maybe?
I don't know. Whatever.
The week after. That's the thing. Open up a movie that early in September means you have a dump movie that you're trying to get rid of.
Yep.
It's a contractual obligation release. Not anymore. Not when the first It came out within the first half of September. Broke records.
Kaboom.
Showing that you can just put out a good movie that people want to see.
And they'll see it.
And they'll go see it. You can put out a Star Wars in December and it'll make summer types of money. $250 million opening weekend. So September 6th, 2019, It Chapter 2. 2 years away.
All right.
That's reasonable. I saw a rumor they're going to get Andy Serkis to do the mocap for all the adult versions of the kids.
Yeah. I mean, I love me some Andy Serkis.
So Mel Brooks did the whole thing about how Blazing Saddles couldn't be made today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what?
Because of PC culture.
Just saying that word.
Yeah, but you know, maybe that was an argument for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But how much money did Django Unchained make?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And in some ways, that is a comedy.
Yeah.
Cartoony. Yeah. I mean, it's a Southern Western. It's a revenge story, and it has Tarantino style humor.
You got it.
Including humors of violence.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing's funny. I mean, motherfuckers, at the end where he's wearing that fucking blue ass suit with the fucking frilly collar, killing every motherfucker
and then,
he sees.
And then he starts shooting people. How is that not funny?
It's hilarious.
It's hysterical. Starts shooting slave owners, calling them the N-word. And then Mel Brooks is like, could make Blazing Saddles slave. First off, you could make Blazing Saddles slave because there's no context in terms of what you're spoofing. We've talked about this before on the show. Blazing Saddles worked at the time because it came on the heels of 40 years of white-dominated Westerns, of John Wayne being the lead of Westerns as opposed to all the Mexicans and blacks who were the actual cowboys today. Django Unchained was making the same point.
Yeah.
40 years later. So so he has this whole thing about goddamn stupid political correctness, blah, blah. Blah, blah.
Whatever. Just be glad that Blazing Saddles got made, Chris.
Old man. Old man. I'm just saying, old man being old man. No more heroes. Heroes ain't worth it. Steven Seagal was like, the NFL protests are disgusting. Putin's a cool dude. I'm like, Seagal, damn it.
Shut up. Keep your mouth shut.
I'm still going to watch out for justice, but like, dude, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Kirsten Dunst.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of idiot, I don't want to call her an idiot. This is obviously not a weed smoker.
Okay.
Because she accidentally smoked weed on the movie set.
Accidentally?
Yeah.
And did she freak out?
Yes.
Sweet.
This is on Jimmy Kibble and Bits. She did Jimmy Kibble and Bits live. And here's a quote. We were doing this one scene where obviously in the movie, I don't smoke that many. But when you're doing takes, you're doing one after the next. And I wasn't eating that much at a time. And so after we were done with the scene, I went back to this little bedroom to rest. And I started to feel like I was losing my mind. I went to the bathroom. I'm pacing. I'm like, Laura, to the director, there's something wrong with me. I think I need to go to the hospital. Like, there's something seriously up. I feel like I'm losing my mind. I'm shaking. I'm hot. I'm just flipping out. So one of the producers comes in and they're like, how do you feel? I was like, I feel terrible. I don't know what's wrong with me. He goes back. He looks at all the, you know, everything that I smoked. Make sure everything's okay. He came back. He was like, oh, you smoked a full blunt on one of the takes.
Nice. She got high.
High as a kite for a person who obviously doesn't really smoke weed.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no way she has a whole bunch of, like, fake weed. And then she starts smoking the real one.
Yeah.
It's like, this is different for some reason.
Yeah, no shit. That's odd. I would have figured that they would know, you know?
You would think so. How does that even happen? How does that even happen? This is on the set of a movie called, which is a real weed. No, it's not. That's not what it is. It's, where is it? Where's the title? I thought I saw it. Spider-Man. This is on the set of Spider-Man 5.
Nope.
Spider-Man 6.
Nope.
This is on the set of the Kirsten Dunst story. Woodshock.
Nope.
A movie called Woodshock, and then there's no information. It was a pointless journey, guys. I apologize for taking you down that road. Godzilla 2. Mm-hmm. They put out a picture of the first look of the big guy.
Okay.
On day 69 of production of the Godzilla movie. And I'm going to show you this picture because it's weird looking. It's obviously from some sort of like production studio. So it's like an animated, it almost looks like a wire outline sort of thing, right? Doesn't it look like he sort of has something on him?
It looks like he's wearing a cowl.
He's wearing something, right?
Like he's got a collar.
Does he have armor?
Yeah, or something. That's weird.
Do we give Godzilla armor to fight the monsters?
Maybe.
Because it's, I mean, Godzilla King of Monsters. And this movie is maybe, Godzilla King of Monsters.
Maybe he's got a cape.
Where maybe it's a cape. He's wearing something. He's wearing something. It looks weird. But it says Day 69 Godzilla movie. And that was a tweet from the director, Mike Doherty. Godzilla : King of the Monsters is coming March 2019.
Not bad.
I'm into it. It kind of makes me want to go back and watch, not Godzilla, but Kong Skull Island.
Yeah, that movie's awesome. Movie.
If you go to the director, Jordan Vogt Roberts, his Twitter, in the last few days, he's been putting out some pictures of concept art of stuff that never got it to like the production phase.
Yeah.
One of them is a picture of this cool shrimp prawn monster that the picture is it looks like a normal sized prawn, I guess, or shrimp type thing with its legs sticking out of the water, but then he realized within the legs is this tiny little boat.
Giant prawn.
Yeah, gigantic. Crazy looking. And the other picture was apparently he wanted to work on, since it was 70s and Nam influence, he wanted to work on a LSD like hallucinogenic dream sequence. So there's a picture of like Kong standing there, but it's as a crazy like landscape, and it's supposed to be part of this.
He wanted
to work in some sort of like trippy.
Sounds fun.
Would have been fun. Yeah, it was really awesome. Weird as shit. And he wanted to work in hallucinogen somehow.
Yes.
I like this Jordan Roberts. I enjoy his style. Colin Firth doesn't like this whole Brexit thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't do him well for his options as a world citizen.
No, it does not.
So, fortunately for him, he had the option of getting himself Italian dual citizenship.
Ah, smart man.
Yeah. You know how he did it?
He owns property there.
No.
Married a bitch.
Married to environmentalist Livia Giulioli. Says he became a dual UK Italian citizen and his wife is applying for a British nationality. Their two sons already have dual citizenship. Married into it.
Smart.
Smart man. That's why I gotta find me a nice Canadian chick.
Mm-hmm.
But then convince him to come down here to the crazy because it's too cold. Like, I take the crazy over the cold, man. It's a different kind of crazy up there. They're polite crazy. Don't you know we? Gary Oldman got married for the fifth time, Drew.
Good for him.
Sanctity of marriage. Hashtag sanctity of marriage. Gary Oldman got married to the fifth lady.
Miss Oldman.
His fifth. And, I mean, come on. Why?
What's the point?
Why?
Yeah.
Right? So what is the point?
What's the point?
The party? Do you even have the party anymore?
Probably not.
No, right? At that point, you elope. You courthouse steps it. Yeah. You just get the paperwork done. You just declare it. Right? Why? Taxes? You're rich already.
So rich.
Prenup reasons? Be. No. Don't get married in the first place.
I don't get it.
People who do that shit drive me crazy. Drive me crazy. Two is fine.
Five.
Three is, I mean, if you want to go with the whole third time's a charm thing, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that optimism.
Third time's a charm, maybe fourth time. You know what? Fifth time would be the charm.
No, four, we're done.
Nope.
I think after if your third marriage fails, I'm sorry. You're not cut out
revoked.
If you get a four, this is no. A fifth marriage?
Yes.
Guess what?
What?
Nothing wrong with the ladies.
No, it's all him.
Gary Oldman's a problem. And you know what? He is an angry old man. He was an angry young man.
Now he's an angry old man.
Now he's an angry old man. And that's not even a pun. He's just legit an angry old man. And with some kind of unfortunate political views. Great actor, though.
Oh, yeah.
Great actor. Fantastic actor. Speaking of great actor, Leonardo DiCaprio teaming up again with Martin Scorsese.
Sweet.
For Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah. Heard about that.
Biopic. Yes. Yes, I'm down for this.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be fun.
They've been wanting to make one for a long time, actually. Yeah. For a long time.
Love me some TR.
Love TR. I'm down to DiCaprio, Scorsese. Pow. Got Gangs of New York. Right?
Yep.
Great movie. Their first one together. Mm-hmm. Martin Scorsese. That first off, Gangs of New York was a passion project. He was working on it for 20 years. That was almost the end of his career, Gangs of New York. He was like, after this, I may be done. Leonardo DiCaprio reinvigorated his love for making movies. They did that. They did, what did they do since then? Shutter Island, right? They did, yep. But they did a bunch between them. They did, what did they do?
Did I say Wolf of Wall Street most recently?
Goddamn, Wolf of Wall Street. Which, apparently got like a cinema score of a C or so, which we're going to talk about cinema
the
score
Departed.
In a second. The Departed, thank you very much. There you go. That's what I was trying to think of. And The Aviator, man. Yeah. Man, they've done some great work together. So, Teddy Roosevelt movie. I'm totally down for that. People should read that the Edmund Morris Teddy Roosevelt bio trilogy.
How many books? How many pages?
Trilogy. Three books. If you don't count the notations and appendices at the end, maybe somewhere between 1,200 to 1,500 pages. Tiny font. No, total. Three books. 1,500 pages, tiny font, with footnotes. But you can skip the appendices. The bibliography is thoroughly sourced, but fantastic, written so well. The Rise of Theodore Roosevelt, Theodore Rex, and then General Roosevelt? Colonel Roosevelt. God damn it. The bookshops are somewhere. We got ourselves I mentioned that CinemaScore. We'll go ahead and jump into that, and then we'll do the other story. CinemaScore brought that up because Wolf of Wall Street got like a C, Mother got that F. The CinemaScore has been around since 1979. They've been keeping track. They still have the records going back to 86. So 30 years, Drew, of jerk off standing outside movie theaters. I'm like, did you like it? Did you like it? Did you like it? Only 19 movies have ever gotten an F. 19. Mother's one of them. The most recent one. I have the full list here. The full list. Some of them are terrible. And some of them are not. Alone in the Dark. Remember that one? That's one of them. Mm-hmm. That's one of them Uwe Boll ones.
Yeah.
F. The Box. Richard Kelly. F. Bug.
Ooh.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Bug was fun.
Bug is great. William Friedkin. Tracy Letts. Right?
Yeah.
Michael Shannon. So... creepy crawly movie without actually there actually being any bugs in there.
No creepy crawlies.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Bug. Good stuff. Darkness. A lot of these are just horror movies. Darkness. I don't remember that one. The Devil Inside. I think it was a exorcism type movie. Disaster Movie, which is maybe the last comedy. Of those spoof movies. This is a weird one. Dr. T and the Women. The Richard Gere rom-com directed by Robert Altman, which is like a middling film. Not worthy of notation. F. Yeah, F. Like, what? Why? How was it marketed that people were...
So awful.
Something called I Have the Beholder, which I don't know. Fear.com, which was maybe 10 years ago now. I Know Who Killed Me, Lindsay Lohan movie, which didn't even get a wide release.
Awful.
In the Cut, which is that Meg Ryan, Anthony Hopkins sort of crime thriller, like highly sexual crime thriller from like 2004. It's a type of thing that would have played at the end scene here.
Weird.
When it did, as a matter of fact, when it played in Orlando, it played at the end scene. Killing Them Softly. I'm going through this list alphabetically.
Which you enjoyed.
I love Killing Them Softly.
Way better than an F.
Much better than an F.
I'd give it a solid B.
Solid B. I accept the solid B. Lost Souls. I'm not sure what that is. Lucky Numbers. Not sure what that is either. Mother. Already aforementioned. Silent House. I don't know. Solaris. Steven Soderbergh's Solaris. That just makes me mad. Wicker Man. Neil LaBute's remake with Nicolas Cage, which is an insane movie, and I understand why. I'd give that like a C, because they tried. It's weird, but not an F. And Wolf Creek, horror film. Brutal horror film. All those got Fs, which is ridiculous. But they noted this is the first year in which a bunch of movies, like a bunch of horror movies, have consistently gotten higher scores. Horror films usually get in the C's, maybe B's.
Well, I'm not even a fan of horror, and they've been some damn good horror lately.
They've been getting better. It's just a proof in the pudding. Mm-hmm. They've been getting more crowd pleasing, more interesting. Get Out got an A-. The Conjuring a couple years ago got an A-. And it doesn't say what its score was, but I'm pretty sure it was around an A or so. Maybe they have it all the way up here. Let me see. Girls Trip got an A+. Spider-Man Homecoming got an A. But then that animated movie, Leap, also got an A. Mm. And that one was brutalized by critics. Those reviews are fun to read. Mm-hmm. One review said that Leap is a rare animated movie to display bad acting, which is like, I want to actually see it. So, Mother getting an F means people just don't know.
They don't get it.
People just don't know. Final story, here we go. Artemis. Hmm. New book by Andy of The Martian.
Sure.
Book's coming out in a couple months. Hmm. Already optioned by Fox The Martian to turn into a movie. Fox plowing forward with their plans to make this movie before the book is even coming out.
What?
That's how much they believe in it, how much they believe in Andy Weir. And Lucasfilm and Star Wars' loss is Andy Weir's and Fox's gain. They snag themselves a Lord Miller.
Oh, nice.
Team Lord Miller working on a film called Artemis, which, let's see. Very small little revolves around a criminal named Jasmine Bashara, who lives on Artemis, the first and only city located on the moon. Life in that metropolis is difficult if you're not ridiculously wealthy, so Jasmine lives a small life of crime on the side to supplement her measly income from her day job as a porter. But when the opportunity to snag an incredible score presents itself, she understandably can't turn it down, though that soon results in her getting caught up in a conspiracy for control of Artemis itself. Books coming out in November 2017.
Sweet.
Wait,
November 2017? That's like a month.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The book's coming out in a couple months, a little over a month. And then they just signed Lord Miller to work on this movie, which then I guess maybe end of 2018, maybe 2019-ish.
Okay, I'll have to do that.
Lord Miller doing sci-fi.
I mean, I'll have to read the book, definitely.
Oh, for sure. I mean, plenty of time. Yeah. Hell, I got time for wait for it to come out on paperback.
Yeah.
Hate them goddamn
hardbacks. Yeah, me too.
What a pain in the goddamn, man. But Artemis, there you go. That looks like fun. That looks like good stuff. So let me see. You talk about it. Harry Knowles, right? They got Mel Brooks and Kevin Duncan. So. Oh. All right. Skip this one. Good thing I went back and checked. There will be no Blade Runner 2049 director's cut, Drew. Final story of the night.
Okay.
You know how...
So, what, this is already the director's cut, then? This is what he envisioned?
This is it. What we're seeing in theaters is it. And obviously, this is a question, because of Blade Runner specifically, has its own crazy thing, where Ridley Scott made his initial cut. The studio forced him to do a voiceover with Harrison Ford, which is, like, the worst thing ever. And for the longest time, maybe still is the way on Netflix, the Blade Runner they have on Netflix.
It is.
It's the one with the voiceover. It's like, come on, guys, it's terrible. They have since put out other cuts with the voiceover taken out, and then another one with the unicorn stuff put in, and so there's the Blade Runner, the final cut, and all this bullshit, right? And Nivo Nueve is like, no. Nope.
This is it.
2 hours and 30-something minutes, this is it. The early reviews are out, Drew. People are starting to tweet about it.
Losing their goddamn minds.
They are losing their minds.
That's awesome.
People are legitimately losing their minds.
I look totally cool with that. I'm ready to lose my mind.
I guess so. We're going to... Week and a half away.
Sweet.
Week and a half away. And I am 52 minutes away from episode 2 of Channel Zero. So we're going to wind this thing down so I can mix it, upload it, and get myself ready for that. Drew, thank you.
Very welcome,
sir. Where can we find you online?
At Antihero 419 all over the internet.
Woo-woo, that's right. I just gave Drew a whoop whoop. Not sure why.
Because you're weird.
Because I'm a weirdo. And I'm full of chicken and broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of cheese. some rice and beans.
And vodka.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff. Is that Tito's, yo?
If you say so.
I do. If you see so, say so. CISO's not a thing anymore. Do you even know what CISO is?
Nope.
Don't worry about it. It's not a thing anymore. Email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Thank you for downloading and listening. Rate us, review us on iTunes. We could use the reviews. We're at 55. Help us get to 60. Let's get the 60 reviews on iTunes.
Come on.
Come on, people. Get on it. Do it. We appreciate it. We'll be back with episode 247 this week, and I'll go ahead and say who it is. We had some schedule reshifting. Look at all these people, Drew. Look at that.
Yep, I see.
Between now and the end of November, we only have two open dates. I'm going to fill those dates. But we got PFT Media co-founder himself, Steve Etchy, coming in this weekend.
All right.
So we're going to have a lot of fun with that. It's going to be a good time. Hope to see you all there podcastually. I don't know. God damn it.
Ruined it.